Please turn with me in your Bibles for our second reading, our Old Testament reading, to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Second Chronicles 9, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company, and camels that bear spices, and gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore he made thee king over them to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, great abundance, and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And the servants also of Huram and the servants of Solomon, which brought gold from Ophir and brought algum trees and precious stones. And the king made of the algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord and to the king's palace, and harps and psalteries for singers, and there were none such seen before in the land of Judah. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which she had brought unto the king. So she turned and went away to her own land, she and her servants. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold, beside that which chapmen and merchants brought. And all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of beaten gold went into one target. And 300 shekels made he of beaten gold. 300 shekels of gold went into one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. And there were 6 steps to the throne with a footstool of gold, which were fastened to the throne and stays on each side of the sitting place, and 2 lions standing by the stays. 12 lions stood there on the one side and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. And all the drinking vessels of King Solomon were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was not anything accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Huram. Every 3 years once came the ships of Tarshish bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought at the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, and raiment, harness and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year. And Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. And he reigned over all the kings from the river even unto the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And the king made silver in Jerusalem as stones, and cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees that are in the low plains in abundance. And they brought unto Solomon horses out of Egypt and out of all lands. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, the first and the last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer against Jeroboam the son of Nebat? And Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. In the first section, we have the fame of Solomon and the visit of the queen. Sheba is a city or a region in southern Arabia, all the way down on the Arabian Peninsula, way south. And so we are to understand here that his fame had gone far and wide. So we note her generosity. She comes to Solomon in such a way as to honor him with her gifts. In doing so, she represents that future estate of the church when the riches of the Gentiles would flow unto Christ, when those of every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and nation would come to him. Solomon is a type of Christ, even in this chapter. Note her honesty. She has questions. He has answers. Many have questions, but is it not our pride that keeps us from asking? Notice that the wisdom of Solomon was such that it was desirable more than it might have been to reveal her own ignorance. And so she asked Solomon all that was in her heart, and Solomon answered everything. Beloved, you know that your Lord awaits to answer your questions when you ask him for wisdom. He promises to answer. Again, Solomon is seen here as a type of Christ. So she is to be commended and a good example to us. There are those who are afraid of being exposed as ignorant or uninformed, and so they remain ignorant and uninformed. And then there are those who would rather have their ignorance than the counsel of the Lord, not the Queen of Sheba. And not the rest of the kings, as we read in the rest of the chapter, how kings from all over the world came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. We note Solomon's approachability. He was not off-putting, but open to inquiry. And I want to maybe remind you how this would have taken planning on Solomon's part. This would require a certain setting up of a diet, a certain setting up of particular foods that could and couldn't be had in their presence, and so on. In other words, there was real planning that was involved in that, yet that was not a barrier to Solomon, not a barrier to the Queen of Sheba. So there was a great desire then to commune and to have this wisdom shared. The comment of the queen is that there was no spirit left in her, that the greatness and wisdom of Solomon was so great, she didn't believe it when she heard of it, and yet when she saw it, it was not even half, it was more than half of what she had heard, right? Twice what she had heard at least. And note finally that the wisdom of Solomon, which he had from the Lord, was not for Israel only. The word of the Lord that we have, beloved, is for the whole world. It is not just for believers. Remember that the first step in monotheism is one God, one standard over all the world. And so we see then that it was meet, it was right for the Queen of Sheba and all of the other kings of the world to come to Solomon, the oracle of God, to hear of their own creator, and the one who would save them if they would but call upon his name. Okay, so now we come to a description of some of the riches that Solomon had, the wealth of Solomon's regal estate. This, of course, stands again as he is a type of Christ, the illustrious king. This is what it means when Christ is called the King of Kings. It doesn't mean that he is the king in his mediatorial office as over all other kings. That is a civil office. It means that as a king, Christ is, if you're going to look up a king, he's the one you want to look up. He's the illustrious king of all kings. So then we note that one talent is about, anybody know? Have you done that work? About 66 and a half pounds. One talent, 66 and a half pounds. So if 1 ounce of gold as of yesterday was $4,354.50, so that would mean that 666 talents times 66.5 pounds is 44,289 pounds of gold, which is 608,624,000 ounces of gold times 435450 for a total of about, in today's money, 3,085,703,208 worth of gold. And this came to Solomon every year. And notice that this was a tribute that was levied upon all those nations because God had given Solomon success over all of them. We read in the last chapter how there were just a couple of cities that needed conquering, but the rest of these came willingly unto Solomon without war. Of course, this is the advertisement of the Prince of Peace, who will make his people willing in the day of his power. How far did this stretch? It stretched from the river, and I don't take that to be the River Jordan. I take that to be the River Euphrates. From the River Euphrates in the northeast and heading toward the northwest and setting, and well, just in the north, and then heading over toward the southeast. And then from there all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, and all the way down to the bottom of Edom, and all the way up into Lebanon. Right? And of course, we will understand that that land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is indeed granted in the promises that God fulfilled both to Joshua and to Solomon. Okay, so when people tell you that Israel is still owed that land because they never got it all, that's simply not true. Read the last chapter of the book of Joshua. It says that God gave all of that land that he had promised. And here in this chapter, we are told of the extent of that land grant to Solomon and all Israel. And it is indeed that which was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we have the legendary wealth of Solomon. We have the legendary wisdom of Solomon, legendary wealth, legendary wisdom, such that all of the kings of the earth came to get counsel from him. And of course, we know that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we have access to that. We have a line to that. You don't need Grok. You know, you don't need any other AI version because you have the very living God. So rather than having, a world around us that is winding down, we see that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we might expect the riches of the Gentiles to come flowing into the church. We might expect to see, according to Isaiah 49, according even to our passage this afternoon, Haggai chapter 2, and its counterpart in Hebrews chapter 12, that what we might expect is something of a replication of the days of Solomon, that there are many that will grab hold the skirt of a Jew and say, take us to Jerusalem that we may hear the word of God because we have heard that God is among you. This is what is happening here in Solomon's day. And this, I think, is what Ezra has in mind. Ezra is not doing a history of Solomon's reign. Ezra has been very picky and choosy as to what he has put in this biographical work pertaining to Solomon. You'll notice that there's nothing of his apostasy here. We don't read of it. We don't read of his foreign wives, except to say in the last chapter that the Queen of Egypt is mentioned only in that Solomon sought to maintain a particular holiness in Jerusalem by moving her residence outside of Jerusalem. And so I think what Ezra is doing for us here is he's looking at the restoration, but under the ministry of Haggai and Zechariah. He's looking beyond the restoration to the days of Messiah. And so he is presenting Solomon to us as that greater son of David. And we see then all of these types that are coming to Solomon that are indicative of what the reign of Messiah will look like until the end comes. So thus ends the reading then of 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Let's